Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. I find myself the past 4 years speaking those words filled with emotions. And maybe you are in the same position, or maybe you say these words filled with different emotions, but truly mourn the high price paid for our forgiveness? Or should we celebrate that we are justified in Jesus Christ? Indeed, some of us remain in that tension, in both the realities of this day, and it is appropriate. But there is also tension that precedes this moment, the tension between doubt and faith, which we see in the text. This is what the three people in our text struggle with. Their faith looks at evidence and reason. God uses their doubt today for us to remove our doubt so that we may have faith in the resurrection of the body from the dead. Faith is indeed required for this new life, where it's been said that the resurrection is the hardest to believe, but that also goes for the altar call of forgiveness of sins. Jesus suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he is risen. And then Paul says, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold it firmly to the word that I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. There was a survey that asked Christians about the resurrection, and they asked people, if science could prove today that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, would that change your faith? And a lot of people said no. They said that the resurrection of Jesus did not change or affect their faith. Wrong. If Jesus did not rise, we are all doomed, for there is no hope in this life, and there is no hope in the life after if there is life, if you think Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. The truth of the resurrection of Jesus does not change, even if someone is bold enough to say that Christ did not rise. If Christ did not rise, all sins paid on the cross are lost, and therefore there's no new life for us. If Christ did not rise, we would not be clothed with Christ and his righteousness. If Christ did not rise, there is no connection between us and God, and the cemetery would be our eternal dwelling. And we all came here for breakfast and not true fellowship with the resurrected Jesus Christ and with one another at this table. Our sermon this morning is not about how true the resurrection is, because our place with regard to that is what the scripture tells us, that he is risen. So Mary Magdalene must have been filled with emotion when she said, I have seen the Lord, to the disciples. For Jesus really did die. He was really buried. He declared victory over death against Satan and hell. And then all the angels and archangels and our loved one and the saints before us are rejoicing. And on the third day, they declared that Christ is risen. Jesus used death against itself, and he died to defeat death. And this is not a matter of my truth or your truth. The true word of God and its evidence have been preserved for many years for you and I. The word was proclaimed, and the gospel is handed over to us, and we will tradition it down for our loved ones and our neighbors and the next generation in the light of the resurrection of our own body. That is what Paul means about the new Passover, that we are a new lump and we have a new life with our Lord. There is hope for you then, and there is hope for me, just as there was hope for Peter. Scripture says that things are written so that you may believe. So we can tell that Peter went through this so that we may believe. We can tell that Peter does all the detective work for us. We do believe Easter morning that Peter races John to the tomb, and Peter does not get it. Doesn't get it yet another time, for he wanted to know if Jesus, the one walking on water when he nearly drowned, indeed left the tomb. Peter had little faith. He saw the divinity of Christ and wanted to build tents for God on a mountain and missed the whole point of that encounter. He cuts off Malchus's ear, preventing Jesus from getting betrayed, but later he himself betrays the Lord by denying him three times. But on the day of resurrection, he's investigating the tomb, the linens, the head coverings, and the tomb is vacant. He has evidence, yet Peter does not believe. Maybe he needs to hear from John, Christ has risen. John also comes in after Peter, but unlike Peter, he doesn't investigate. He sees and he understands that Jesus arose, but he took in an empty tomb. Women were there. The tomb was empty. The disciples were there, and the tomb was empty. The angels were there, and the tomb is empty. And then we know later that Jesus appeared to many, and later Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We believe that the tomb is vacant this morning, but it is only a sign. The empty tomb is only a sign that the focus is still on the cross. The focus is for us, that cross that forgives our sins. The empty tomb is just the continuation and the consequence of the cross, asserting for you the justification that Christ has put on you. Therefore, what happened on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago has a direct consequence on the reality of you and I and of all people, past, present, and future. We obviously cannot travel back in time to fact check. And for that reason, God has his apostles record these things for you and I so that you may believe that Peter, John, and the other disciples, and even Paul, who knew Jesus by name, those are eyewitnesses. The hundreds of people are eyewitnesses so that you do not doubt. We were given our intellect, that's true, and we are given our eyes, and they are helpful. But most importantly, we are given faith to hold firm on the words of Jesus Christ. After all, do we not say, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." True faith believes in the death on the cross, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or maybe our problem is not evidence, but the death of Jesus Christ itself on the cross and how it affects us. That his death on the cross applies to us because he is the Son of God, the new Passover lamb for us. We know about a small club of people who also experience resurrection. We're given new life. The text, as the words are put together, reminds us of Lazarus, for he too, like John, Jesus loved. He too had linen wrapped around him and hid coverings because he died, and Jesus raised him from the dead, but his death and resurrection is not for you. The death and resurrection of Jairus' daughter is not for you. The sacrificial death of the Son of God, that one, is for you. And to prove that all he said is true, Jesus dies on his own accord, and he rises on his own accord on the third day, and it can only do good to us. Mary, she received good things from Jesus. Jesus is her good benefactor. Jesus removed the demons out of her, and then she received an unwavering faith, and she did not miss a beat of the passion of Jesus Christ, and she was loyal, and she was connected to Christ. She was the one who goes early to the tomb to finish the burial rites. But when she saw that the tomb was empty, she drew the wrong conclusion too. So you see, we can look at all the evidence on earth, but without holding firm to the gospel, we can draw the wrong conclusions. So for all the wrong conclusions that we have had in this life, repent. Let us repent if we've drawn the wrong conclusions. For our conclusion does not make the gospel true or false. Our reasons and theories and logic cannot make sense before God's mercy and gracious will. Maybe your reason lacks connection with Jesus, like Mary and the other disciples, that we do not feel that God has done much in our life. And I said, when I say these words, Christ is risen, I am filled and loaded with emotions. And perhaps we are disconnected with these emotions, like Mary and Peter and John who lived it. Perhaps we have barely reflected on what happened this morning or the past 40 days. And we cannot fathom how people who were watching and spectating the suffering and death felt deeply. We cannot fathom how sorrowful they are about what happened. Maybe we missed that part, the physical pain that Jesus endured, the deep cuts, the wounds that make him pass out, the shame that comes with the verbal abuse and the spitting on the face and the mocking that he received, and then the wrath of God on the cross that makes him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? That suffering that eats you alive and kills you from inside. Maybe it is beyond our understanding and all humanity what has happened, but we are saved through that one man on that cross, that one man who can raise himself from the dead and who raises you from the dead with him. Don't we feel sad when animals are mistreated or our pet dies? We feel sad when strangers are victim of injustice and disasters, and our heart goes out to people who suffer. Don't we grieve our loved ones? But what about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Now I'm not guilting you into some type of way this morning, but we celebrate this day with the assurance that Christ is risen, right? It is joyous that we are renewed in him again and a new person before God, righteous and justified. When I thought about connection, I can only come up with one thing. Since I came here in the United States, back home, I knew where my food came from. It was the chicken in the backyard. We named it. But here, my food comes from the store. I'm sure it came from somewhere. But like a kid, my food comes to the store. They don't think about where it comes from. And maybe there's that disconnection. I don't know. Or you, if you were a farmer, you may know where your food comes from. But a lot of people just go to the store. But food comes from the field. And it doesn't come from us. It comes from God, the author of life. The scripture says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves, and we are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And the more disconnected we are from the source, the more prone we are to forget and to thank God for the life and resurrection that we have received from Him. The salvation that we have received from Him, the resurrection that is won by Jesus Christ. Know where your salvation comes from. Not everyone can raise their food, but for Christians, it is important to remember the source of our daily bread and remember the source of eternal life. After all, we only live because Jesus Christ lives, the Lamb of God who died for us. Now, Jesus says in the Gospel of John chapter 6, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The Feast of the Resurrection on this altar is your connection before you to your Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. It connects you to the cross and the One who was crushed on that cross. So we can no longer underestimate the gravity of our sins. This morning we can unapologetically rejoice that we are made new creation, and Christ didn't remain dead, but He is risen and present here. So let us rejoice today and every day that you have not believed in vain, that you are justified through Christ because you are part of His body. So hold firm on the gospel this morning. And Sunday after Sunday, you look at the evidence here. And for us, the best evidence is God's word and His holy sacrament. In the name of Jesus.